very good Friday morning to you.
And a very good Friday morning to you fine folks out there.
First day of July, halfway through the year. Can you believe that? 6 months until New Year's Eve. And we bring you the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker from Community Christian Fellowship just down the road in Prospect, Ohio. Definitely feels like July out there, doesn't it, Pastor Steve?
It sure does, and I'm not complaining about it. You know, it gets a little bit warm, but boy, it's going to be cold before you know it. And I don't mean to sound like you got to be kidding, we got all the summer left. But, you know, the truth is, we have a very, very short summer summertime in Ohio. And when we can really enjoy this weather, a lot of garden watering going on right now. But, hey, I'll take that. I'll take watering the garden over shoveling snow.
I would say we all have our different opinions of yard work. I don't like raking leaves. I don't mind mowing. I don't mind shoveling snow. But the leaves, it just like you rake them, and 6 hours later, you have twice as many as were there before.
Well, you know what I love about living out in a rural area is if you leave them alone, when the windstorm comes, it just blows them all away.
that's definitely the easy way around.
It really does happen that way. Yeah. I've got a huge field across from me, and I've got a hay field behind me, so there's no leaves coming from it. So all my trees drop, and then these huge winds come up, and I watch them blowing across the road into the bean field, and they're gone.
Yeah, well, that's life in rural or semi-rural mid-Ohio for you.
Semi-rural mid-Ohio. Good to see you here, all you guys this morning out there in radio land, or for you to hear me, hopefully. You know, I was wondering if somebody would like to call in at some point. We're at 740-383-9944. Just give me your age demographic, your age group. We were having this discussion over the age group of people that do listen to the station. So if you want to just stop in or call in, you don't even have to leave your name. Just say, hey, I listen and I'm this old. And that would be interesting to see to me. I think it would be. But anyway, doesn't matter what God to God, it doesn't matter how old we are. He loves us, all of us, and He loves no matter what age we are. And like I like to tell people that, you know, if you're still breathing, God's not finished with you yet. And you'll know when He is finished with you. Believe me. But it's great to be here this morning. I just left the church at Community Christian Fellowship a little bit ago. We were having our free coffee that we do on Friday mornings throughout the summer months, and coffee and pastries. And I certainly want to thank all the this week all the ladies that stepped up to do that. It normally is mostly the ladies, and I certainly appreciate them doing that. And all those that stop and visit, it's good to visit with you. I don't know that I told you any. I don't know if I brought this up last week, but the prior week we had a great Bible school in Prospect. Our Prospect Bible school last week, we ran about, I'm thinking it was around 70, 75, maybe even 80 kids a day, which was such a blessing. And it is good to see that the parents coming out, allowing their kids to sit and listen. I was having a discussion yesterday about, church denominations and where we used to be in America. And anytime the 4th of July is coming up, we get a little bit nostalgic, at least I do, and I pray that some of you do too. And I wish our young people got a little more that way. I was talking to my grandson the other day, and he was telling me that he was frustrated because of some of the posts that he was seeing about some things going on in our country lately, some Supreme Court decisions and whatnot. And what was frustrating him was not their opinions. What was frustrating him is that so many of the people saying the opinions just literally had no, or were somewhat not well-informed, period. What they said didn't make sense, they did not understand really how our government works and why it was set up that way. You know, we have a lot of problems, and we can have a lot of problems in society and our country, but this country, the way that it was set up as a constitutional republic, has made it the greatest nation in the world, and it's the best government that's ever been formed. So we have to look at it, and while there has to be checks and balances all the time if we can, if we want to keep this republican place. But the point is that we need to understand that it's the best system that's ever been in the world for a people to thrive and a nation to thrive. As many times as I see people complain about this country and not understanding its whole structure, to be perfectly honest, a lot of times, they're more than happy to go home at night and turn have their air conditioning on and make a snack before going to bed. I want you to know, if you're doing that, you are in about the top 5% of people in the world. The rest of the world, they don't have that ability. They don't have the ability to stay cool and have those things and eat all the time. And you know, and we say, well, you know, I've been around the world and it seems pretty much the same. Well, normally when we go around the world as tourists, we go to places where they have those things in the city, and there's that very minute amount of people that we would ever see anyway. But I think that if I talk to people that have been on true mission trips to different countries and see how the populace actually lives, they would be a little more thankful for the America they live in, and I wish that they were. But we were having this discussion the other day about, you know, our different denominations and our country and growing up. And although we've always had varying degrees of opinions, of beliefs, of background, certainly our heritage and things that were brought up in our family, all of our families are different. I remember when I started dating my wife years ago, it was a culture shock to me because her family was brought up completely different than mine. And we lived in the same area, went to the same schools, all those things, but our families themselves were so different in the way that they addressed things, did things. I'm not saying that mine was better than hers or hers better than mine. I'm just saying it was very different. And so we do have those things that come into play in our families. But some things that didn't change, and there were some consistencies, and those consistencies were, one, you were to love your country and respect your country, and you were to defend your country and understand the great country that we live in. Sure, has there been mistakes? Absolutely. Have there been things we have to overcome? Absolutely. But understand something. I love the statement that someone made. For evil to prevail, it's for good men to do nothing. And the truth is that power corrupts. There's always evil out there. But if we're going to let that blossom, we sit around and do nothing. And that's why there has to be these checks and balances all the time. We have to have checks and balances with things that go on. If we don't, then they go awry, and they stay awry, and they only get worse. And we're going to have, understand, you know, I know that some people believe that there's a basic good in people in general. The truth of the matter is there's a basic evil in people in general. And there are people that do not have a good, everything is so focused on themselves and their own desires that they really don't look for the greater good in anything that they do. And because of that, we see the corruption. Because of that, we see some of the things that go on that will corrupt a system. Now, whether or not it had any, I'm not going to get into a discussion about what had a bearing on an election and what didn't, or if it did. We are where we are, but I was hearing a research group talk the other day that they're still researching a lot of the things that happened in the 2020 election and how they want, their goal is to make sure that doesn't happen again. And they were talking about, and they did this through modern technology is how they figured it all out, but it's a long story how they did it. But In Pennsylvania alone, there were over 1,100 people that went to ballot boxes a minimum of 30 times, and some of them as many as 100. And those ballot boxes was not a, you know, not dropping off one ballot at a time. So, now, what I'm saying, I'm not going to say that had any bearing on the election at all. But the point was, that's evil. That is robbing your vote, your individual vote, for what you desire. If I vote for someone and my neighbor is part of a group that is voting 50 times. What does that do to you? What does that do to your vote? And I think people should be outraged. Now, I only say that to say this, and I don't want to get into an election discussion here, but I only say that to say this, that is just an example of how we can have corruption that needs to stop. And the corruption is anywhere and everywhere. You know, if you want to find corruption, you're going to find it. If you say there's no corruption around you at all, your eyes are not open. And I don't care what side of politics you're on. I don't care what side of your workplace. Quite frankly, you know, as a pastor, I have to be very diligent, and those do around me too, to make sure that we don't have any wolves in sheep's clothing coming in the church operating. And because that'll be there too. Whatever man, evil man, can conceive in his mind, he's going to let it play out if he's given the chance to. And the point is, people need to understand that that's not the place that we should desire to be and desire to go. When I was talking about, you know, the love of country, one thing I found too, and it really didn't matter when I was very young and for generations prior, you could be Lutheran, Methodist, Baptist, where do I want to go with this, Presbyterian, Church of Christ. You could take all those denominations, and I know I missed a few, and I didn't mean to slide anyone if I did. But if you look at those Protestant denominations, they're all going to be basically the same thing. Some differences in liturgy, some differences in practice, and some differences, quite frankly, in theology. But their basic theology is that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to come to this earth to pay the price for the sin of the world on the cross. He died for a fallen world, and He gave us the opportunity to have that sin paid for through Him, because He was the spotless Lamb and could take that sin on Him for the entire world. And then He died and He rose again the third day, and that we need to accept Him and accept Him in our life and accept that free gift that He has given us. Now, I don't think that any of those denominations that I mentioned would question that whatsoever. And then when you go beyond that, if you look at basic morality in our country, they had all been on the same page too. With just common sense of what is right and wrong. What is good for you and what is not good for you? What is going to help you have a good, wholesome, solid life and following the rule of God's law and what is not? I don't think that you would have gotten a question out of any of them. As far as questioning, they'd have been on the same page for the most part. But I think that what we're seeing today is because we so badly want to keep numbers, we so badly want to have it be well-liked, and all these things, we have so compromised in so many areas, the things that were usually toe the line point. We're going to toe the line, we're not going beyond this point. That now, you know, you can have just about any societal thought or pattern developed in any one of these denominations, quite frankly, even sometimes including my own, that we have to be on guard for. It's the same thing. Just like in the world, if you let evil progress, evil will continue to progress, and the country will regress, and people will begin to think evil is the norm, and then once it becomes the norm, we're in trouble. And I know that we've heard politically the term reset in the last couple of years, but I think sometimes we need to reset spiritually and get back to where we are supposed to be, and understand that in God's economy, in God's world, there is consequences for right and there's consequences for wrong. And we have to understand that if we're going to want good consequences in our society, we have to do what is morally right, what is spiritually right, and love one another. And when I say love one another, I'm not talking about a feel-good love, although love should make you feel good. I'm talking about loving people enough to tell them the truth, desiring that they not go down a road that's going to not only give them a less than pleasant life here, but give them a real unpleasant life eternally. And I think that if we really care about people, we're going to desire that they know the truth. And I would much rather have someone have a fulfilled life in a way that is pleasing to God and bettering their life than for them to like me because I approve of something that is destroying them. And that is not that love. Love is telling the truth. I think that today with parents, there used to be a common thing that parents would tell kids, you know, you may hate me now, but you'll love me later, but this is the way it's going to be. And now it seems to me, as I see families, I see parents trying to be their kids' friend. And yes, our kids need to have our understanding, our compassion, and they need friends, but we need to, there needs to be that line drawn that we are the final authority in what they do and don't do. I told you guys a few weeks ago, and I'll bring this up again, that I had asked a group of kids, and they were good kids. I mean, I love kids, but you know, all kids are pretty good to me. But these were a good group of kids. And I asked them, I said, what control of your life do you think in telling you what you can and can't do does the government have? And I was just so shocked because, you know, they were averaging like 70%. 70% control of your life. The government has no right to have any control of your life. But see, they believe that because they've seen it in the control of controlling us through economic issues, through health issues, through all kinds of issues, through education. And quite frankly, that's not their role. It never has been their role. And once again, you know, just because it's the government doesn't mean that it's right. There's evil people in government, just like there's evil people in your workplace, in the church, and all over. You have to begin to think for yourself. You have to begin to look at the Word of God and what does God tell us to do, and what does God tell us what is right. You know, I really, when it comes down to basic truth, it really doesn't matter what our opinion is compared to what the Bible tells us. If the Bible says it, it doesn't matter if we agree with it or not. It's true. It is what it is. And that's where I stand as a pastor. I firmly believe that. And I would ask and pray that you learn to believe that and know that too. You know, for years following the Word of God and watching it through my life and how things have played out with people, all it does is reinforce it over and over and over again, the actual truth of Scripture. It's such a blessing to be able to watch things play out in a wonderful way in people's lives. But it's also sad to see things play out in a way that you know it's going to play out if they don't, if they just want to do it their way. You know, the reason that I firmly believe that most people don't believe the Bible or don't want to follow the Bible isn't because of facts. It isn't because of investigation, and they've investigated and it's wrong. Because if you talk to most people that don't believe the Bible, they've never taken 5 minutes to investigate it whether it could be true or not. So that argument goes out the window. I think the real argument here is two things. One, do I just choose to be ignorant of it so that I can just, I don't want to be told what to do? And the second part is, goes along with that, and it's part of that, is the fact that I'm going to be my own God, I'm going to be my own boss, and I don't need a God that I don't see and I don't know telling me what to do, whether it's through His Word or whatever. Some of the very people that will say, how can you believe in something like that, that's so far-fetched, will believe in some of the craziest things in astrology or... I've even seen people that will worship witchcraft and talk about the Bible being silly. Come on, folks. What's the real reason? The real reason is a rejection of God. If you really want to know truth, which I would pray that you would, because it has eternal consequences. I would pray that you would say, you know what, I want to know whether this Bible's true. I would recommend The Case for Christ is a wonderful book. It's a book of a reporter. It was written to disprove the Bible was his intent, and he ended up proving the Bible. And there's several books like that out there, and they're good. And there's a lot of investigation stuff. Google on your computer, is the Bible true? You're going to get all kinds of things. You're going to get things that say no, and here's why. But you're also going to get some things where you're going to see that, wow, I need to really look at this. But is it important enough for you to do? That's the question we have to ask. Why is it that we have changed so drastically in the last 10 years in this country, in the last 20 years in this country, last 30 years in this country? Why is it that if, and this is a true correlation, and you can check this all day long, and it's just, a lot of it is just looking and looking around us and some common sense. Why is it that as we have made the Bible less relevant in our country, and we've made God less relevant in our country, or even scoffed at God in so many cases, why is it that our society is seeing unbelievable things happen that we've never seen before? If God's not important, and if we can do all these things on our own, then what we're going to have to deduct and conclude is that when we finally did away with slavery, when we finally had the Emancipation Proclamation, been a long time ago now, 50 years ago, right? Longer than that. I'm losing my, a little over 150 years ago. Everything should have started on the right track and went right from there, because wasn't the great evil of America slavery? And wasn't that the, once you solve that, everything should be right, fine. But no, it's not. Because without God, evil continues to prevail in many ways. Our society is not a better society than it was then. People are still living in all forms of slavery in this country, whether it's slavery to a drug or some other addiction, whether it's slavery to spending, whether it's slavery to sex, whether it's slavery to, and on it goes. I see people every day, quite frankly, they're slaves to sports. I mean, they complain that their families aren't close and they never eat dinner together and they don't spend any time with their kids. My kids barely see me, when they spend all their time running from ball field to ball field to ball field to ball field. And it's, unfortunately, I had a witness last night, some kids that were really enjoying playing a game together, and their parents made utter fools of themselves. What's going on with that? If you're not a slave to it, why are you getting so emotional over a kid's game? So I guess what I'm saying is that society hasn't gotten better. Society's gotten worse. We see the STD rate, sexually transmitted disease rate in this country is insane. I'll tell you a little trivia thing that was kind of, it's almost disgusting if you think about it. It is. The highest rate of STDs in the United States per area is a huge retirement village city in Florida, and I won't mention it by name. A retirement place has the highest rate of STDs. We've become an immoral country. In many ways, in that way, we look at suicide rates, just plain meanness in general. Young people without hope. You interview young people today, and they don't have any hope. They just want to do what they want to do, and they want to be left alone and be able to do it. There was always, to me, a great satisfaction in learning that if I discipline myself to do this, I can get ahead. If I listen to this, if I follow these rules, things work. And it's never 100%. But today, no one even wants to do anything, follow their own rules. I remember when I was getting out of high school, I was in a little different situation. I didn't have a father. My mom was struggling to take care of three of us that were still at home, struggling financially and working an awful lot. And I didn't have that push behind me that maybe I, you know, should have been there. But I know that most of my classmates, their parents were planning their, helping to plan their futures, and were, you know, even in many cases telling them where, look, if I'm going to pay for your school, you're going to go here, you're going to get these certain grades, or you're going to go out and you're going to get a job and you're going to work full time, but you're not going to live under my roof and not do anything. Which may seem harsh, but the truth of the matter is, people began to grow up at that point. They began to realize, I've got a mark to hit, or it's not going to work well for me. Well, today it's kind of like, oh, we can't put them out on the street. We can't tell them what to do. We got to let them go to school wherever they want. You know, your kid picks a college that there's no way that you can ever afford. You know you can't afford it. You know they're going to have debt that's unbelievable. You know that they're going to probably not succeed because of that whole problem. But yet, I don't want to upset my child, and that's where they want to go, so I'm going to tell them to go there. I mean, come on. Let's parent. Let's be parents. Let's be smart about this. You know, there's things that we can't do, and there's things that we can do. I think that we need to start early on helping our children plan their future. One thing that really surprises me today that I just think is, I mean, we do a lot of silly things, but I see people that are supposedly financially responsible Americans, and they're saving up these for their kids. They've been saving for college since they were young. They've been, you know, buying CDs or whatever, and investment accounts, and then they send their kid off to a college with no plans. They party for a year and a half, 2 years, burn up all the money, quit school, or they get some silly degree they'll never use to make anything. And then the parents are out literally thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, couldn't that money have been better spent another way with that child? Maybe by dangling a carrot here or there, or saying you meet this mark and we do this, and meet this mark and we do that. To me, that's not very financially responsible. It just isn't. But we just seem to have this thing in our mind that we're told what is the financially responsible thing to do today. But it's not always the best thing. And I think that we just need to step back, spend some more time with those kids at home, get them to church on Sunday, let them sit and listen. You know, when a parent says to me, you know, I'm not going to tell my kid they have to go to church because I don't want to force religion down their throat, but yet they, every day of the week, they force the world down their throat through social media, through the media in general, through television, through certain things in education. I mean, there is a whole religion of non-belief. I mean, people don't really say, I don't believe in religion. Well, yes, you do. If you believe in the evolutionary process and the fact that we're not, there's no God, that is your God. It is the God of chance. I'm taking my chances that this is. So your God is the God of chance, and that's what you follow. Another one that surprises me is people say, well, I don't believe in absolute truth. There's no such thing as absolute truth. Truth is always relevant. It depends on what you put into it. Well, you just made an absolutely true statement by saying there's no absolute truth. So yes, you do believe in absolute truth. Your absolute truth is that there's no absolute truth. So all this stuff, it just goes in circles. Are we going to stop and investigate and do what's best for us and for our family, or are we not? Are we going to allow them to come to church? Are we going to allow them to listen to the other side, so to speak? There's some great programs going on in the schools right now. I know there's one school in Marion County, and one in Union County. Hopefully very soon we'll have more that we'll be able to do. It's part of a timeout program that's been in place in this country for 60 years, and nobody was just taking advantage of it, where young people are shown the other side and taught the biblical side of society and what we believe in our lives, and given that opportunity to have a choice, because we haven't had a choice since the 60s. I mean, we've been taught one way. And it doesn't matter what makes sense. It doesn't matter what truth is. If you teach, and it's just been taught anyway. And if you teach someone that something's truth their entire life of growing up in school, and it's never been investigated, it's never been challenged, you don't allow challenges, you just believe it's the truth, and you walk away as a very, very ignorant of the truth of the situation. Even if you're right, you have not given yourself the opportunity to weigh the options and see the difference. And we're not doing that so much today. People might say, well, you know, years ago that they only heard one side. Well, believe me, in this world, they have heard both sides. It's just that one may be one that they're taught specifically, and the other one just surrounds them with self. There's two basic places we can be. We can have the God who is our God, the God that we worship in heaven, the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, or we can worship ourselves, and we can worship what we want to do, and those are the two schools of thought. So one of those schools of thought has always been prevalent and out there in society, or prevalent, and that is that school of thought that look, I'm going to do what I want, I'm going to have fun, it's all about me, and he who dies with the most toys wins. I say who dies with the most toys still dies, and you don't take anything with you, and you're far better serving other people and caring about other people, loving other people, and this even crosses boundaries, honestly, into the church we see it. People will say many times that, you know, I don't go to church, I don't want to go, there's hypocrites there. Well, I got news for you, there's hypocrites everywhere. There are hypocrites everywhere. I mean, that's because we're hypocritical people. We may decide to do thing, want to do one thing, but there's always that old nature in us wanting to do the wrong thing, and it's a constant battle. One of the first books I ever bought was a book I bought in the Cedarville Library in Cedarville, Ohio, and it was called The Fight. I think it was the first book I bought after I was an adult. It was called The Fight, and it was written by a man by the name of John White. And it was a book about that constant fight that we have between what's right and wrong, between good and evil, between God and the world and the pole there. And an excellent book, but it's such a true battle that we all have all the time. You know, the Apostle Paul said, that, you know, why is it those things that I want to do, I don't do? And those things that I don't want to do, I do, because we have that fight. But it's a fight worth fighting. It's not a fight that you give up on and succumb to what the world wants. You'll never have that fulfillment in your life that you need, and you'll never worship the holy God that desires you to worship him and love him and have that eternity with him if it's all going to be about you and what you desire. But what I say, I even see it many times. It's very sad to me that when I see somebody that has had some hard knocks, done some things that for whatever reason weren't up to snuff with everyone else around them, but yet at the same time their life has been marvelously through God turned around, and they do wonderful things, and they do great things, but people will still, even within the church, will say, oh, I don't know about them, do you remember when they did A, B, or C? And I hear that, and I think, are you kidding me? I mean, you're not going to celebrate what God has done in this person's life. You're not going to embrace them and love them. And I have to tell them, if they're not going to, you might as well throw half of the Bible characters out. Because they all fell down. They all had problems. Anything from murderers to thieves to across the board, God changes your life. And that's the message of the Bible. The message of the Bible isn't that we're all basically good and we try to stay that way. The message of the Bible is that we're all basically born with sin. We have this old nature, and it's only through faith in Jesus Christ, who paid for that sin, that we have a chance at a new life. He bridges that gap between us and a holy God that can't look on sin. Christ made that bridge, but we got to walk across it. And then we can know the truth and know what a fulfilling life is. If I didn't have Jesus Christ in my life, and I had to live in guilt for my thoughts, my actions, the dumb things that I've done, the mistakes that I've made, I would be the most miserable person in the world. Matter of fact, I'm not sure I'd be living, because I probably would have drowned myself somewhere in a whiskey bottle somewhere or something, not being able to deal with it, as many people continue to do, and they do that. And the point being that you know, it is that bridge that Jesus Christ made through paying for our sin on the cross that allows us to walk that way. It was very much later in life. As a matter of fact, it's probably just been the last few years as I look back at my life. And I think that as we get older a little bit and our lives slow down, not physically, mine certainly hasn't slowed down, but as our thought process slows down to where we can reflect better back on things, I wish that when I was a young man that people knew me, because they didn't know me. Through some different things happening in my early teenage years and things that I didn't realize probably had the effect on me that they did. I was a very insecure, scared person, which led to a lot of selfishness, a lot of bad decisions, a lot of fear that I wouldn't be loved and accepted, and certainly it led to substance abuse and a lot of things of that nature. Poor decisions, rash decisions, wanting to jump into things, wanting to speed my life up and get on with life. And it was just, as I look back on it now, it's very sad that a lot of the people didn't get to know who I really was. I wish they had known the kid that went up until 10 years old or 11 or 12 years old, because they would have seen someone completely different as I was. Because I always wondered why it was that I was this loving little kid that loved the outside, loved animals, and loved people. And I just had what I thought was, I wasn't a bad little kid. And then all of a sudden, you know, it seemed almost like a personality flip. And it's now looking back on it that I can understand those tragedies that happen in life that form that. Being left without someone that you truly love more than once, and the degree of pain in that. But I don't want to use that. Please, I don't want to ever use that as an excuse. I'm just looking back and saying that, you know, when I finally realized that I needed to let God take control, because I couldn't, and when I needed to make God the master in my life, he was able to bring back those good qualities that were in me that he put there, and he was able to bring them back to the surface. I didn't per se become a new person. I became the person he always intended me to be, and that intent was there, not of me, but of him and who he designed me to be and wanted me to be. And I praise God for that, because he did it. And I want to tell you today, he can do it for you too. I don't care where you've been. I see hope in people. All they have to be willing to do is say yes. Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, give me a new life. Yes, take that sin away. Take that addiction away. Take that selfishness away. Take the anger away. Take the pain away. And trust him that he has. That's the whole point too, is trusting that he took it. Not languish in it, not sit around and say, oh, no, you know that he does. And we're still going to live with things that are difficult. Whether it be thoughts that we have, whether it be, we battle all kinds of things. We battle selfishness, we battle sometimes illness, chronic pain, family histories, on and on it goes. But the point is that those of us that I know that are able to give that to God and trust him with it can still have such a fulfilled, wonderful life in him and the life he created you to have, which is where it all comes from, and it's fantastic. But you gotta grab it. You gotta say, yes, Lord. You've got to. And if you don't do that, you're just going to fumble along in life, and you're going to end up not a very happy person. But really, that's just the not ending up a happy person. It's just the bottom of it. The top of it is, what really comes to the forefront, is you're going to spend eternity without Christ and out of heaven, without the glory of a loving creator that created you. And you're going to spend eternity in hell. I mean, face it. Let's be honest about the truth. People say, why would a good God send good people to hell? He doesn't send you to hell. You reject him. When you're given the truth and you reject God, you're rejecting him. Now, life on this earth is pretty short. And you don't want to reject God, trust me, because it's going to have an eternal consequence. Not only that, your decisions have eternal consequences on your own children and those around you. They watch you. You mentor them, whether you realize it or not. And I don't ever want to think of my children or my grandchildren not knowing the Lord as their Lord and Savior and having that life in eternity. I'll see them there. I'll be with them there. But I have to surrender my life to Christ. And he does make us new. I said a few minutes ago that it's not like it was a completely new me, because there were things that God placed in my personality that were good things. And they needed to be used the right way. But he's the one that made them to be used the right way. And I have to lay that in his lap. I am nothing on my own. I tell people this all the time. And I've told them this for a long time. I literally am one step away from the gutter. What does that mean? Well, you know what the gutter is. The gutter is that bad place where you don't want to live, where everything falls apart. You're in total sin, all those things. It literally is a step, a lateral step from either side of me, and it is all of us. The point is that when you rest in Christ, you know that he is keeping you up out of it, and he sustains you there. And the thought of being there, but literally we all can step away and step into that at any time, but he takes away the fear of that. Because when we rest in him and we give that confident rest, we know that he's holding us and securing us, and we're not holding and securing ourselves. I cannot trust myself to be secure in anything. I will be a total failure without him. And I know that. And I am dependent, therefore, completely on him. And what he does then is he allows me to, through who I am and through what I do, to have great joy in life and in those around me. And I enjoy life. I love life. I love the things that he gives me to do. Even the busyness, sometimes it can get very tiresome and very heavy. Getting home late at night, getting phone calls where someone needs you. The other day I had a relatively free day for a couple hours, I thought, and I got two phone calls in less than 2 hours of people that one person I didn't even know and never met, that desperately needed counseling because they were at their wit's end and ready to do something with their life. And someone else called me and says, and I ended up meeting this person, and it was a very much a blessing. That time was, it turned out that way. But see, those are good things. Those are the things God gives you to do that let you know that you're here for a purpose and a reason. And the reason is for people's lives to be changed and shine on him, not on me, not anything I do, but for me to turn that person's focus to him, and to focus on him and let him then take their life and do the wonderful things with it that he certainly does. Hey, I want to give you guys some heads up on a few things going on. We're getting ready to start some new groups at the church, getting ready to kick off later this summer, this fall. We have a new divorce recovery group and a divorce counseling group. We're re-kicking off Celebration Recovery, which will be desperately needed. We did it for quite a while, and then we took a hiatus from it, but we're going back at that. We're also going to, actually there's several groups we're doing. Another one is, we're going to be doing a group, and hey, if you're out there and you're listening and you can do this where you're at, I think it's a great thing. Right now we have way too many grandparents and other family members raising children that aren't, there may be their grandchildren, and it's tough. We're starting a group called Second Time Around, and it's for those people that are raising their second set of family. It has a whole new bunch of circumstances and dynamics, and trust me, they need support in this. So we're going to have some people that are in that situation and have been through that situation, and they're going to have a group for those people that just really need, hey, it's tough raising young people when you're a senior citizen, and there's a lot of it going on today. And so that's going to be a group that helps them, but just a lot of different things. And, you know, God bless you guys. It's great that you're out there listening. And I encourage you to grow. Again, we're at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. We have a Bible school hour in the morning at 9:30. And we also have our service at 10:30, worship service at 10:30. We're doing a Revelation study, which we're taking a break until the 1st of August. And that study, we're going to conclude that on Revelation in about 4 weeks from there. And just a lot of neat stuff going on. Team Kid will be kicking off before you know it. A lot of community outreach and stuff. Just, oh, and by the way, it is 4th of July, and this weekend we're going to be at the park doing some great things with everyone else there. God bless you guys. Praise God. Let's have a prayer in closing. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, for all you've given us. Give us the strength to follow you, and let us know the reality of you in our lives. We ask this in your name. Amen. Guys, have a good one. Happy 4th.
Thank you very much, Pastor Steve. The Pastor's Spot, every Friday morning from about 9:15 a.m. until 10. Right here on The Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 FM, WWGH1071.com.